God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life.
You and I live in a very noisy world. In fact, it's probably the noisiest world that has ever existed. We just have continual noise wherever we look. And that is where we put our attention. Whoever makes the most noise seems to get the most attention. But noise does not necessarily equal power. So for instance, if you have a house, does the noisiest pipe have the most power in that house? If some pipe is going bad and making horrible noise, does it have the most power in your house? Well, you may give it that power, but no, not necessarily. We live on a ranch. Does the most cantankerous horse have the most power? Does that mean he's the herd boss because he is a problem? Well, no, not necessarily. If you're a teacher, does the noisiest student have the most power? Well, again, no, not necessarily. All these things may be things that create a lot of noise, and so we give them power, but it is important to know that noise does not necessarily equal power. It's kind of like a six-cylinder sport car with a bad muffler. It's noisy, but it's not because it's powerful. It's just noisy. Noise does not equal power, and Psalm 83 reminds us of that. Psalm 83:1 says, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God." Psalm 46:10, God says, "Be still, and know that I am God." And in Psalm 83:1, it's almost the converse. It's almost saying, God, please don't be still. We do know that you are God. We're going to be still, but please, you, do not be still. Do not be silent. He says in verse 2, "For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head." In other words, all the wrong people are making all the noise. In verse 4, he tells exactly what he means by that. They have said, the enemies of God have said, "Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." Now, perhaps you don't have an army of chariots surrounding you today, but I will tell you that the psalmist goes on to say, God, these people are confederate against you. Now, Israel was not perfect and is not perfect, but I would never bet against them. And so the psalmist says, God, these enemies are confederate against you. Now, you're not a nation. You're certainly not Israel. You may be like me. You may be a Gentile. But if you belong to God, it's important to remember that just because something or someone makes a lot of noise does not mean they have a lot of power. We're living in a world where the people making the most noise, making the most commentary, making the most decisions seem to all be people who are not doing the right thing. And yet there is a God. So two things will help you to negotiate this world with the right mindset. Number one, know your history. In verse 9, the psalmist goes on to recount the history of God dealing with his people. He says, "Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin, at the brook of Kishon." He goes on like this for three verses. Now, maybe you know what this is a reference to. Maybe you don't. Can I just tell you that the psalmist did not write this to be confounding to modern Americans? He did not look for a bunch of big words to use, things that were obscure, and say, well, let me throw this at him. Now, this is poetic, but he's just talking about Bob and Sally and Joe, common names to him, and history that was commonly known. In other words, he was going back in Israel's history and remembering their history as they look forward to the future. They know that they are in God's hands, and though God may seem to be silent, God is not inactive. They know their history. Know your history. You know, it's amazing. We're living in a day where people have nothing to lose because they have no history. God created three institutions, the home, the government, and the church. And since our modern society seems to have knocked the home and the church in the head, the only institution people have left is government, to give purpose to life, to give meaning to life, to give answers for life. And so, of course, despair is multiplying by the day when that is their only hope. So, friend, know your history. There is a God. He has been good in the past, and he will take care of you tomorrow. So know your history. Number two, know your God. He concludes in verse 18 by saying, "That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth." Know your God. That's exactly what the psalmist did. He said, God, you know, I don't understand all that's happening, but I'm trusting in you. You know, God is not a cloud without water. In verse 15, He says, so persecute them with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm. God may seem to be silent, but he is not absent. In Psalm 52, verse 1, the psalmist says essentially, why are you boasting, arrogant, wicked man? The goodness of God endures continually. Now, that's just a Rice paraphrase, but what he's saying is just because God may not be making noise at the moment does not mean that God is indifferent or that God is ignorant. No, in this verse, God is exclusive, whose name alone is Jehovah. There's only one God, and that is the God of whom the psalmist speaks. He's exclusive. He is exalted. You, God, art the Most High. Can I tell you something? All those making noise today, none of them are God. God is God. Now, you may give others power, but they're not the most powerful. And then he is an inclusive God. He's exclusive alone as Jehovah, but he's also inclusive. He's Jehovah over all the earth. Can I tell you something? We don't give God power. We simply acknowledge it. And God doesn't hold his peace. He gives it to us.